expend energy upon that, it becomes, again, that wheel of anxiety and stress. But if we can focus on the two things that we actually can control, and this is just what I believe the only two things that are actually in our control is one, how we show up, and two, how we react.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that we can control. And so when we bring it to the breath, what happens is it brings us back home. When we focus on the breath, when we consciously breathe, as I like to call it, when we're breathing with intention, we're now focusing our attention, not outwards, but we're focusing it inwards.
Mm.
And the more that we can tap into ourselves, our home, our being, the easier it can become to try to mitigate some of these other experiences within our life. Because
for sure,
we can't control the child that spilled the milk, you know, and made a big mess of dinner. We cannot control that, but we can't control how we react, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as we walk through our life, we do have these moments where it's like, okay, where is my sphere of control here?
You're listening to the Fix Your Gut podcast, a podcast that empowers you to understand why you have gut issues and what to do about it. After over 20 years of suffering with IBS, migraines, and chronic fatigue, I decided to take matters into my own hands and I became a nutritionist so I could not only heal myself, but heal others that were struggling like me. Odds are you're here because you're stuck. Your doctor couldn't help and you've already tried cutting out foods and probiotics. So now what? You don't have to suffer anymore. You can heal your gut. We're going to go beyond diet and supplements to empower you with the knowledge you need to achieve deep, lasting healing and finally enjoy food again and get your life back.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fix Your Gut podcast. And today we're talking about anxiety and how it can kind of keep you stuck in your healing journey, whether that's gut healing or maybe it's emotional healing. And the last few years have been really hard on everyone. A lot of people have been struggling with their mental health, whether they experience that as depression, anxiety, whatever it may be. We're all struggling in some way, and we all tend to have different ways of coping with that. So today we're going to dive into a little bit of, you know, what our typical coping mechanisms are and what, you know, one good practice that we can all use no matter where we are or what we're doing, and that is breath work. So what I've seen a lot in my practice in the last few years is a lot of anxiety, a lot of burnout, a lot of insomnia, and then a lot of worsening gut symptoms because of this. So one of the things that's really important to understand is the connection between the gut and the brain, and that when we are chronically stressed, that actually shuts down our digestive system. And one of the ways it does that is through the vagus nerve not being as active as it should be. And so you may experience this as, you know, excess bloating or maybe changes in bowel habits. So diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, indigestion. A lot of people end up trying to blame the foods that they're eating and get confused, feeling like they're reacting to more foods than they used to. But typically it's more due to the stress response itself. And then a lot of people have been coping with this increased stress and anxiety by self-soothing with either food or alcohol. And while that's not necessarily, you know, a horrible thing in any given time, like we all indulge here and there, but that becomes our main coping mechanism that can have consequences that we don't want, right? So that might worsen our gut health, our mental health. And so we really need to look at other ways in which we can regulate our nervous system and our mental health without turning to those crutches. So all that to say, today I have a special guest, Tiffany O'Hearn, and she is a functional breathing coach. And we're going to dive into the power of breath work and how that helps us manage anxiety and stress and ultimately help support optimal digestion. So a little bit about Tiffany. She is a mother, partner, a daughter, and a friend. She's also a nutrition, fitness, and advanced functional breathing coach with Oxygen Advantage and a podcaster as well. And today she finds herself more drawn to helping people via the power of breath than anything else. And Tiffany takes a whole body approach to wellness. And given that breath is so vital to our existence, it's actually a very unique area to work in. And when Tiffany is not helping people, she can be found with her daughter, Lucy, who is the light of her life, and or lost in the woods with her partner, Kara, or making people laugh with her wit and humor. So welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really honored to be here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so excited to dive into this topic. It's something I've become a lot more interested in myself in the last few years, mainly because I have a friend who's very much into breath work. And as she started to share some of these practices with me, I realized the power of that for really managing my gut health as well. So maybe you can talk a little bit about anxiety and stress and why that, like what kind of symptoms it causes and how someone might recognize that in their body.
Sure. Yeah. And that's such a great and powerful question, because I think, you know, oftentimes when we experience stress or anxiety, it's usually at our tipping point, meaning our cup is already full. And so what we haven't recognized throughout our cup being filled is that it might have started 17 incidents ago, or it could have started, you know, yesterday. And so what's happened is this just starts compounding and compounding and compounding until, you know, you're at dinner and, you know, one of your children spills the milk. And then it's like, you know, the world has just toppled over and you react in such a way that doesn't mirror what has exactly happened.
Right.
You know? And so I think that, you know, it's so profound and so helpful when you can try to mitigate your sort of stress and or anxiety when you initially start to feel that, because then it doesn't compound, you know, and that can be a tricky place if you only identify with, you know, your cup has spilleth over, right?
Right.
So that can be a tricky place to start, but you know, there are internal cues that you're experiencing prior to those tipping point moments. And so it's just about that connection with your body, right? And when we talk about gut health, especially, that is all about connection with our body, you know? And it's funny, because, you know, my partner often will complain about, you know, intestinal problems or what have you. And I recently said, do you notice a correlation between your emotional state and your stomach? She's like, no. I'm like, let's think about that. Let's try to sit with that and experience it and see if that actually does play a role, because our emotional state plays an important role in how we perceive and our resilience and how we go through life, you know, truly. Yeah. And so how can you harness that power? Because this is not a conversation where it's like, well, my emotional state takes over and I'm just going to sit back and let that happen. Like, no, that's not, you know, as I say, there's only two things that we can control in life. And this may sound limiting, but I trust you it's not. Because often as human beings, it's our human design to want to control things around us all the time. Like, my picture is crooked, I need to fix that. Or, you know, my child or my partner is not acting the way that I want them to, you know, but we can't do that. And the more you're trying to expend energy upon that, it becomes, again, that wheel of anxiety and stress. But if we can focus on the two things that we actually can control, and this is just what I believe the only two things that are actually in our control is, one, how we show up, and two, how we react. And those are the things that we can control. And so when we bring it to the breath, what happens is it brings us back home. When we focus on the breath, when we consciously breathe, as I like to call it, when we're breathing with intention, we're now focusing our attention not outwards, but we're focusing it inwards. And the more that we can tap into ourselves, our home, our being, the easier it can become to try to mitigate some of these other experiences within our life. Because we can't control the child that spilled the milk, you know, and made a big mess of dinner. We cannot control that, but we can control how we react, you know? And as we walk through our life, we do have these moments where it's like, okay, where is my sphere of control here?
Your stomach has been killing you, so you finally get to see your doctor. They do all these tests, and then they tell you there's nothing wrong. It's IBS. Except IBS isn't really a thing. It's what they tell you when they can't figure out what's wrong. But there is something wrong. Of course there is. You feel like crap. So how upsetting is it to be told there's nothing wrong, to be dismissed, to be given no explanation for your symptoms, to be told it's just IBS and there's no cure? When it happened to me, I cried. And every time I saw another specialist and got told the same thing, I cried again. No one understood. I just couldn't keep living like this. I've seen this in every single one of my clients. They're frustrated, they're overwhelmed, they feel like they've tried everything. Gluten-free, low FODMAP, low carb, low sugar. Sure, some of them helped a bit, but now they're feeling stuck with these symptoms and they just can't seem to feel better. And with every client, I use the same 4-step protocol. And every time, they got better. And why is that? Because we treated the root causes. And most importantly, we made it enjoyable so they could still eat their favorite foods. So the question is, are you ready to give up Dr. Google and try something totally different? Are you ready to prioritize your health? Are you willing to not just change your diet, but your mindset and your lifestyle too? Then you're ready to join us inside the Fix Your Gut formula. I created this 4-step roadmap to complete gut health transformation because I wanted to empower as many women as possible. So I decided to create this program as a mini course and support group for only a fraction of the price of a single appointment with me. Want to learn more? Head to the link in the show notes.
And I encourage you to notice that and take it back to the breath. And now when we talk about breathing, it becomes a little bit of a funny subject because anyone listening to this, well, you are breathing and that is a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's not to suggest that anyone is doing it wrong. That is never the conversation, but there are ways to do it better for you and your body, for your mind, for your body, and for your soul. And so the number one way to turn inwards and to get better at breathing is to simply use your nose. The most interesting piece that I learned throughout this entire, through all the studies about, you know, functional breathing and whatnot, is that our mouth doesn't actually have a function of breath.
Okay.
And yet we use it for breath. So it's very counterintuitive, but our nose, on the other hand, has about 32 functions of breath. So now that all being said, the nose is really where you want to do the large part of your breathing. And so as I say this, most of the times what happens is, and I can't say for sure, but most people will go and close their mouth because they probably don't even realize that they're taking in their air through their mouth. When we mouth breathe, what happens is it puts us into a stressed state. So if we are already stressed and now we match our breath to that, we're actually making ourselves even more stressed. And so again, it kind of goes back to that sphere of control. So when we talk about our nervous system, right, we have our autonomic nervous system, which is great because it's functioning for us. Without, if we do nothing, it's still going to function for us, right? But there are ways to tap into it. And so functional breathing is basically giving you the remote control of your nervous system. Perhaps you just don't know how to work it yet. You know, perhaps you're like my grandmother who didn't know how to work Netflix, right? Like we don't have to keep pushing buttons. Like we can figure it out and you can figure it out for yourself too. And there's no easier and better way that I see out there than something that's already on you right now, which again is your breath. And so just to give a quick, you know, experience, because like I always say, you have to try something on to understand how it feels.
Yeah.
So if everyone's in a safe place to do this, if you would just go ahead and put your hand on your upper chest and then place one hand right beneath like your breastbone, like right in the middle there above your belly button. And if we start to, now it's exaggerated because we're saying do it, but if you take a couple breaths through your mouth, What's your experience there, Holly, with your hands? What do you notice?
They're both kind of going up and down.
Is together. One going, yeah, but is one perhaps you feel it more in your upper chest, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so the other thing too, when we go from a mechanical standpoint, is you probably wouldn't realize this because you're not watching, but if you watch me, see how your shoulders rise? Mm-hmm. So mouth breathing also puts us out of alignment to our actual structure of our body.
Right.
Because we're shrugging our shoulders, right?
Is so that now creating shoulder tension too, I suppose.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now if we take our hands and now we shut our mouth, which is my favorite thing to say, and we take a few breaths out of our nose. Now share your experience. What's changed?
I feel like I breathed in more into my abdomen than my chest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as we're nose breathing, that's actually a deep breath. So when we're upset and someone says, take a deep breath, often what you'll find, and through no fault of anyone else's, is that they're taking maybe a large inhale through their nose, perhaps, or just a large one through their mouth, but they're offloading it through their mouth.
Mm.
If we really want to tap into our nervous system there, it's to consciously breathe in and out of our nose, because what's happening is we're filling our diaphragm. So when we're mouth breathing, we're not actually filling our diaphragm. And our diaphragm is the largest breathing muscle. So when we're mouth breathing, we're shallow breathing. And that feeds in to our sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight. And so just for a second, I'll just break down what functional breathing is, because it might help to kind of match that.
Yeah.
So functional breathing is breathing for your metabolic need. So if your metabolic need is to be calm, can your breath match that? Or does your breath match that? If your metabolic need is to go run a 5K, does your breath match that? If you're about to prepare yourself for sleep, does your breath match that?
Mm.
And the same with digestion, right? How do we digest food in through our stomach, but how do we metabolize it? A large part of that is through our breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes so important through all body structures, how we breathe. And again, this is not to say anyone's doing it wrong, because no one is doing it wrong. You're breathing. So you're doing okay. But it's an understanding that in those moments, you have that control.
Mm-hmm. And with that diaphragm piece, it's come to my attention through working with practitioners like my osteopath, as someone who has struggled with chronic heartburn, that when there's a lot of diaphragm tension from shallow breathing or mouth breathing, that actually worsens heartburn and upper digestive type symptoms, because it's so tense in there and the breath can't get in and help with digestion.
Yeah. And that's such a good point. And so if we talk about the actual like chemical response in our body, when we're nose breathing in and out through our nose, our body is going to help to regulate that pH balance. When we're mouth breathing, it becomes a little bit harder. And the reason for that is because our nose are smaller. We have two little nostrils and we have one large mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're mouth breathing, we're going to be taking in more oxygen. When we're offloading the oxygen in the form of carbon dioxide out of our mouth, we're offloading more than we breathed in. So if we do go nose to mouth, we're breathing in oxygen, and then we're offloading even more than we breathed in. So what's happened is it's creating a large pH imbalance in our body.
Hmm.
And so that alone can speak to digestion issues and things of that nature, like especially after you eat, you know, because you want your pH to be in balance. And so the interesting thing about the breath, and it seems counterintuitive, but in the presence of carbon dioxide, meaning the more sensitive or the less sensitive we are to carbon dioxide, meaning we can have some in our body, the more oxygen our cells will release.
Okay.
So when we're mouth breathing, we're actually not as oxygenated.
Hmm. So that can contribute to a lot of fatigue, I would assume, and, you know, trouble focusing. We're not getting the oxygen we need, not just to all of our tissues, but to the brain too.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if you notice yourself sighing a lot and yawning a lot, that is a cue to shut your mouth. And to take couple conscious breaths in and out. And so when we talked about conscious breathing, when I had you do that exercise before, that is exactly conscious breathing, because you're taking your attention out of your mind. You're taking your attention out of, you know, everything else around you, and you're turning inward.
I think that's one of the hardest things for our people in our society, because we're such a society that's so outwardly focused, right? Everything is about achieving and being productive. As women, a lot of what we feel, you know, our productivity and worth comes from is serving others. So constantly looking outward, right? But, and we're not used to being able to turn in, and especially those of us that may have, you know, either mental health concerns or trauma or whatnot, it may not feel safe to turn in, or you're just not comfortable with what you might encounter.
That's such a huge point of what you say too, because our world is filled with distractions. I mean, we could likely call this podcast a distraction, right? But at the same time, it's not. We're not saying that it is.
Yeah.
But you have those moments in your day to turn inward, and it can be a very scary place. I totally empathize, and I have compassion to that, especially when we talk about trauma and things of that nature, because trauma, it does live in our body, and it can affect especially our digestive system.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we turn inward, it might seem a little scary to what we're going to find. And it's in those moments of difficulty that it's almost the exact place to be. Because every time we turn inward, we become a little bit more resilient for it.
Mm.
Even if it's just a tiny bit, it doesn't matter. We're just a tiny bit more resilient for it. And I think that that is such a beautiful place to be.
For sure. And I think it's such a powerful tool, you know, having this breath work, and the more you practice it, you know, as you turn inward, if you start to experience upsetting emotions or a sense of panic or overwhelm, knowing that you can come back to the breath to help regulate your nervous system, and, you know, now have that tool, whereas before you might not have, you know, you might start feeling out of control and kind of spiral if you don't know how to deal with those emotions as they come up. But it's a great tool to kind of get yourself back to a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I always, you know, are you showing up representing yourself in your most authentic self, in your truest, highest version of yourself? Really, you know, you have your values. We all have our own internal core values. So are you showing up? And that's kind of goes back to what I said about how we have that control over how we show up. So are you showing up in your truest, highest self? And if you are experiencing, you know, an emotional, you know, roller coaster, then it's going to be hard to stand up in that true, authentic space because your emotions are likely governing you. And now if we take that to, you know, have you ever had a hard conversation, Holly, where you thought to yourself, wow, I really, really said some things that I didn't really or I acted out in a way I figured, and not, you know, because we're all human. It's our human, right? It's going to happen. But when we take it back to the breath, it helps us to get to know ourselves even better. So in two ways. So let's take it back to that hard conversation. One, you might enter that conversation and be a little bit more aligned with yourself because you've taken it back to your breath before. Or the second part is, you know enough about yourself to say, hey, time out. I'm not really showing up in my most authentic way, and I'm not adding value here. I'm going to step away from this, and I would love to revisit this at another time. Because we have that control in both those scenarios, you know? And so we have that ability to turn inward and ask ourselves, am I showing up in my truest authentic self? Because your breath will help align you to that.
And just kind of be grounding. I definitely have caught myself in conversations like that, getting very worked up. And, you know, because I'm so in tune with my body, I felt myself, you know, sweating and my heart racing, my throat feeling constricted. So just taking a moment to do one or two deep breaths that really allowed me to center and speak from a place of more, you know, calm and empathy, rather than being triggered, but just not like more in the emotional brain where I couldn't really connect with the other person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or that more ego-centered brain where it's like, no, those other 17 things, I did that, and you know, so we're showing up to a conversation already out of alignment with ourselves, you know? And so how do we bring that back? And so it goes back to that deep breath. I mean, that is the simplest way to bring it back to yourself. Is, and we can also have physical cues, because sometimes like sensations and physical cues also help. And so another one is to simply take both of your hands and place them on either side of your lower ribs. This will help connect you to your diaphragm. And so now as we take a few breaths in and out of our nose, because again, consciously we're doing this together, right? So we're just, and what you'll notice is as you inhale, your hands expand outward. Mm-hmm. That is your diaphragm filling with air. And as you exhale, it's going back up into its resting space. And so it becomes like this balloon that you're inflating and deflating. And that alone can be very cathartic, because you're tapping in. Yeah. You're tapping into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is just a side note, because I always refer back to this, but after my daughter was born, if anyone has ever experienced a newborn, with that's a very healthy newborn, it's awful to think that they might not be breathing, and it's, mm-hmm. they're always breathing, but they're breathing so efficiently and so light and so slow with no noise that it can be hard to discern whether your baby's okay. breathing or not, you know, and because they are breathing the correct 100% way. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to ever wanted to feel how a baby was breathing, what you would do, and the nurse showed me this because it was the best thing she could have ever showed me, is to put your hand right where in that space, because okay. you'll feel their diaphragm moving. If you put your hand on their chest, which is what likely people will do, you won't feel it because okay. their breathing is so light and so quiet and so effortless.
So that's how we were born to breathe before the world programmed us to be in this constant state of stress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's why sometimes even that alone can be, you know, if you look at animals and things like that, dogs, and I believe there's one other animal out there, but dogs are unique in the way that they mouth breathe to cool themselves off.
Mm-hmm.
But if a dog is at rest, they don't have their mouth open. You will never see another animal breathing from their mouth unless they are sick and going to die.
Mm.
Because they also breathe in and out of their nose. And so, mm-hmm. and it's not, this is not a me problem. This is not a you problem. This is our evolution of mm-hmm. our bodies has changed, you know, likely around the turn of the century. So we're talking about like, you know, 100 and so on years ago, where breathing just sort of changed for us. And the two reasons why, you know, the gentleman that I studied under suggests, one of them is processed foods. We've, you know, over the turn of the century, we really started to have a lot more processed foods. And forget about today's day and age. It's, yeah. you know, you go into a, you know, any gas station and that's all you're going to find. Mm-hmm. But if we think about, again, how do we metabolize food? So, and we're talking about food that's likely foreign to our cells, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe an apple isn't as foreign to us as, you know, beef jerky or, you know, whatever. Right. So we need our breath to match what we need at that point, right? And so mm-hmm. after you've eaten a big meal, it might be harder to actually breathe in and out of your nose. And you might feel like you're not getting enough oxygen because our bodies are working for other things. Again, our right. metabolic need after we eat is to digest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an important, you know, cue alone when it comes to, you know, gut health. But in the second reason why, we likely has evolved as a society. And this is not to say, you know, this is not a conversation for this. It's purely just conversation towards it, is that mm-hmm. babies aren't breastfed as much as they were.
Okay.
And so what happens is when a baby is breastfed, their whole face is developed differently because they mm-hmm. need their tongue and they need the whole structure of their jaw to get the milk from the breast, where in walks a bottle and it's very easy for a baby to drink from.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is our facial structure actually changes. And then we have baby food. And then, so the baby doesn't really need to develop this whole maxillofacial structure of their face. Mm. And so what happens is their mouth is going to hang open.
Interesting.
So again, it's not, you know, it's not our parents' fault. It's not anyone's fault, right? It just is. But what mm-hmm. can we do differently? What can we do differently? And, you know, shutting your mouth is truly, is truly where it begins.
Yeah,
because it can change the looks of our face and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, something I always tell clients to do. And I just recently noticed, you know, maybe I'll back up and say with myself, you know, when I've been having a gut flare per se, or I eat something that doesn't sit well, and your stomach's feeling off, you're feeling bloated, I notice that I tend to breathe less deeply, mainly because there's discomfort there and I don't want to push on the discomfort and feel more uncomfortable. The irony being, if you do a couple deep breaths, it actually will help stimulate the digestion and get things moving and feeling better. So typically I tell clients that are struggling with chronic gut issues to, before a meal, sit and do at least 3 deep breaths. I said, I think you have time for that. You can manage that. It doesn't take long. I know it's a new habit to get into, but especially if it's dinner and you're coming home from work and you're still in that very stressed fight or flight response mode, you need to kick your body into that parasympathetic rest and digest. Otherwise, you're going to end up with gas, bloating, and indigestion, no matter what you eat for dinner. You're going to try to blame it on the food again, but it's the fact that you went into that meal in the stress state with your digestion shut down.
And that is such an important thing. And you just got me thinking too, because if you're in a stress state, if you're in a stress state, right, you're going to match that with your food. And that's not to say that you're going to make poor choices, but you're likely going to eat at a faster rate, because you're also breathing faster. And so your body is going to mirror that metabolic need at that time. And so if we can already approach a meal, and I'll say with gratitude, because that's just the kind of person I am, but we can approach it with gratitude, and we can approach it by sort of turning inwards first, it can have a huge impact on how we digest food. And again, when we're talking about a big, deep breath, I shouldn't say big, when we're talking about a deep breath, it is in and out of our nose. That's the most important thing. A lot of times we want to do it out of our mouth, but we want to really work on trying to get it in and out of our nose. And I was just working with a client, and he shared with me that his dad just passed away at 95. And we were talking about food. And he said, every day after my dad would eat, now this is not something most of our society can do, but I'll share it anyways. Every day after he would eat, he would go lay down for 20 minutes, not sleep. But he had it in him that he needed to prioritize his digestion. And who knows if that's the reason why he lived till he was 95. But I just, we were just chatting about that, because I was like, that's amazing. And maybe there's so much more truth to that than we could ever begin to understand. But our body is doing so much for us at all times. It has our back, literally has our back.
Yeah.
You know? And so how can we help support it? And when we talk about digestion and such, and I know that you had brought it up to begin with, but we can talk about the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is a big, beautiful nerve. It's the largest one in our body. And what I find interesting too is the root word for it is vague, or vagabond. So it's like wandering. It's like
vagabond. The great wander, they call it.
So it's the great wandering nerve. And so the most beautiful thing about it is it's opposite of our other nerves. And so it starts from the bottom of our gut and reaches our brain instead of our brain reaching our gut. So when we're talking about emotional instances, and when we're feeling dysregulated of any kind, whether that be a physical space where we are feeling, you know, digestion issues or bloat or things like that, it's in those times that we can exactly turn to our breath. Because when we deep breathe, as we tried out, that stimulates the vagus nerve. And that is our built-in system of like timeout. Is our built-in way to calm ourselves down, not with the food, not with the alcohol, not with all these other things. And listen, they have a beautiful place in our life. I'm not discounting them.
For sure.
But we have those tools on us. We have the ability to downregulate ourselves. And when we talk about the nervous system, it's not that, I'm in a sympathetic state. I shouldn't be in a sympathetic state. No, you absolutely need to be in a sympathetic state most times of your day, right? They work in harmony together. But the most important thing is if you are in a sympathetic state, do you have the ability to oscillate to a parasympathetic state?
Right.
And not let most of your day reside in this sympathetic state, because that's when your body is going to start to make adjustments, as it always does. And oftentimes we'll go see the doctor 20 times before our body has said, time out, time out, time out. Hey, do you remember me? I'm trying to show you something here. I'm trying to show you something here. And we notice it, right? We'll say, oh, I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. Well, when we feel that stressed and then we finally do like go see our doctor, likely they might just prescribe something, where all of this time you could have just been using your breath to help ease that within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's so important. That's why I say it's like the remote control of your nervous system.
I love that.
You can that's oscillate true. Between the two, right? Mm-hmm. We don't always want to be running from a tiger.
Right. And that's what it's designed to do. Yeah. It's very much a survival thing. Right. So that's why everything else shuts down. It's like, okay, all resources, like all hands on deck, we have to survive this situation. But that's not the reality of most of our days, right? It's not a life or death situation. It's, you know, your boss yelling at you or whatever it may be, something stressful. That's not life or death. So having your body respond that way all day long is going to take a toll. And it does so in many different ways, depending on the person, whether it's on their mental health or their physical health. But yeah, in that with muscle tension, like we were saying, when you're breathing a certain way or when you're stuck in that sympathetic state, and with anxiety specifically, a lot of people with chronic anxiety tend to have a lot of tense muscles, a lot of headaches, a lot of jaw problems. I know because this has been me most of my life. And, you know, you go to the massage therapist and they're like, wow, you're really tight. But I had just been a few weeks ago, right? So it's mainly because that whole time I was spent in that stress state with my muscles tense 24/7. Yeah.
And that it's such a good reminder too, because, you know, when we are not functionally breathing, we're actually not functionally moving either. And so what does that mean? A large part of our lives are designed to be sitting as we stand now. Well, not stand, but you get it, right?
Right.
We're hunched over computers. When we're doing that, our body can't match our breath purely because we're actually compressing our diaphragm as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and that can also speak to digestion as well. So sitting up will help open up that space as well for you to actually get those deep breaths in to help your nervous system regulate. And so, you know, again, we, as I'm talking here, it seems as if we have everything against us, you know what I mean? Between society and everything else. And while that may be true, we also don't, because again, we do have control in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And where is it? Well, you can consciously breathe whenever you want, right? We can't focus on our breath 24/7 and we'd get nothing else done. It would be impossible, which is why it's an autonomic process, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in those moments where you can remind yourself to turn inward, that's when it's the most important to do, because also we have our reticular activating system within our brain. And so what the reticular activating system is designed to do is to take over for us. Meaning, we've all seen a car out there, right? Like, let's say it's a Jeep, right? Mm-hmm. And then you drive down the road and you're like, oh my goodness, I just saw another Jeep. Oh, I just saw another Jeep. There's like 17 Jeeps on the road right now. And it's not that there's any more Jeeps than there was before. You're just noticing them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can use that to our advantage, especially when it comes to the breath, because the more that we do it, the less we have to consciously remember, the more our RAS will do it for us.
Okay.
Right. So it will know, like if we consciously breathe, you know, say one time today, like actually take that moment, likely we will only have to think of it one more to meet two times tomorrow.
Okay.
Because our brain is constantly working for us. And we can use it to our advantage. You know, we don't have to consciously think, okay, I have to breathe. I have to breathe. I have to breathe.
Yeah.
But if you match it to something else, your body will instantly will do it without you having to actually even think about it also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that one of my practitioners told me was, you know, think of something that you do fairly often throughout the day. So for me, when I work admin at the clinic, I'm sitting, but I often get up to go to the back to talk to one of the practitioners or go to the kitchen or something. So she said, okay, every time you get up, you're pairing that with doing a body scan or taking a deep breath, or you're, you know, mindfully walking, meaning you're feeling your feet hit the floor kind of thing. So that's my cue that I'm pairing that with the behavior, so the new habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's so true. And one of the most profound things about consciously breathing too, is it is a form of meditation. Mm-hmm. Because you're taking your attention out of your mind. Like Thich Nhat Hanh, if you read any of his stuff, he always talks about walking meditation. And while that may be out of what you would want to do with your walk per se, but you can also take that time to consciously breathe and look inward. Mm-hmm. And that is a form of meditation. And you can layer this in, like you said, right? You're going to get up and go to the bathroom. Okay, I'm going to think about that and I'm going to consciously breathe. I'm going to consciously breathe my way to the bathroom.
And while I'm in the bathroom to help me poop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. Or to not, or if you are feeling something, right, you're in the bathroom and you're going to, you know, you're going to poop and then you're like, oh, it's not what I wanted. Or right. You can also take it back to your breath to say, no, this is just my body right now. And I appreciate and love you. Because there also is that self-love piece that needs to happen as well. We have to love ourselves and trust ourselves and trust our body. I have dealt with, you know, lots of GI issues over the past few years. Okay. And one of the things that I know to be so telling too is to take it back to your breath and honor it. Mm-hmm. Because our body is working so hard for us all the time, you know, and we can't fix a problem like that. Nor can you all of a sudden like, oh, well, Tiffany said that I just need to shut my mouth and breathe. So I'm just going to do that and everything's going to be great. Like, no, you spent X amount of years breathing one way or thinking one way. So there's going to be that place where, you know what, we're going to have to do a little bit of work, but only a smidge to make a difference. And then tomorrow we'll do a smidge more.
Yeah.
And then a smidge, right? And so and the same. Yeah, exactly. And then it compounds. And that's what we want. We want that compound in our bodies, not that stress, not that anxiety.
For sure. Love that. Anything else you wanted to add, Tiffany, before we kind of wrap up?
You know, another good way to tap into your vagus nerve and to tap into your parasympathetic nervous system is also humming. I would just like to share that, because when we're humming, we're not humming with an open mouth. We're humming with our mouth closed. And so even if you're finding it hard to breathe in and out through your nose, try humming, because that will also help. And the vibrations also help to soothe our vagus nerve. And another little exercise that I'll pass on before we move on here. And I do this with my daughter. You can do this with anyone, and it surely does help. But if you take your hand, right, and if you hold it out in front of you and you're going to trace your hands up and down. And as you trace up your thumb, you're going to breathe in. And as you trace down your thumb, you exhale. And as you trace up your index finger, you're breathing in. And as you trace down, you're breathing out. And you can go ahead and do that through your whole finger, and you're not racing through that. But what you've done is tapped into your nervous system there. You put yourself in a parasympathetic state. It's going to feel really good for you. And also we have that sensory experience also to really help connect us. And so if you are feeling overwhelmed or stressed, I impart you with just that. Just look at your hands in and out, and you can close your eyes as well, but your hand is out there and you're just going to trace it. As you trace up your finger, inhale. And as you trace down your finger, exhale. And do that maybe once, twice. You have to experience it to know how effective it can be. But I encourage all to try it. It works with children too, which is such a beautiful thing, because they're so emotional.
Yes. I'll use that with my nephews.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. But that is something that you can do again, that to help connect those dots to, okay, what is conscious breathing and how do I bring it to my life? Mm-hmm. That is just one tool on you. Cause again, these are all on you.
For sure. Yeah. I love that, because a lot of people, myself included, one of the ways in which we like to, you know, relieve stress is workout, for example, which obviously, it's great to exercise and work out, but can't always do that, especially when you're in the middle of work or, you know, a special event or something, but you always have the ability to use your breath. So,
And even if you don't even have to touch your hands, you can still visualize it and it can still work. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for sharing your wisdom. I learned a lot and I'm going to have to go practice my breathing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it. It's been an honor to be on the show and have this chat.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you. Do you want to share with everyone where we can find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So I can be found on Instagram. My handle is @life_and_breath_. Mm-hmm. And I can be found on Facebook, Tiffany O'Hearn. I post a lot of exercises and lots of, you know, breathing tools and tips and things like that. And then my email is tiffany@lifeandbreath.info. And I have a website, it's coming, but it's just not
exciting.
Yet.
Yeah. It's a big project. I've been there. I get it.
Yep. One small at a time, but
yeah. Amazing. Well, thanks again, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for me. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I hope you found it helpful, and make sure that you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. If you really love the show, be sure to share the episode on social or leave a rating and review in your podcast app. If you're a longtime listener, you know what's up. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Fix Your Gut podcast with more science-based, digestible strategies for root cause gut healing so you can get your life back and enjoy food again. Chat soon.